I don't think that people are aware of how much rivers are used as a dumping ground for industry. And I also think people would be really surprised to know that, in general, wastewater is actually more saline when it leaves the wastewater treatment plant than when it enters, and that's a result of the treatment process.
Meaning it has more salt in it.
It's more salty.
Why is that bad?
Because freshwater systems are very dilute. They don't have very much salt in them. And we're elevating these concentrations. So the biota, that's plants and animals that are in these systems, are adapted for a dilute environment. And suddenly we're chucking all this salt in there. It would be like waking up tomorrow morning and yourself eating 3 tablespoons of salt. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't feel so great.
Does this have any repercussion for humans in terms of raising salinity levels within freshwater ecosystems?
There's massive both economic and environmental implications for increasing salinity in freshwaters. I mean, for a start, we irrigate all of our agriculture with water that we take out of either aquifers or rivers. So if we're pumping saline water into the rivers, the salinity can rise to an extent that we can't put it on our crops. We can't water our crops with it anymore. And it also has big implications in terms of drinking water. If the water's so saline that we need to use reverse osmosis to make it safe to drink, this is a highly expensive process. And ironically, in turn, has a whole stack of salt that then needs to be disposed of from the reverse osmosis.
Well, what is this reverse osmosis process exactly?
You would take salty water, whether it be from a saline river or from, say, the ocean, and it runs through a series of membranes. This is highly simplified, where the salt is taken out through several processes, and the result is, say, one section with fresh potable water and another section of the brine. So the potable water is what we want for human consumption and for our industry, and then we're stuck with this brine that we need to get rid of.
What do we normally do with it?
It's quite often pumped out in the ocean. I think that was going to be the idea for this desalinization plant that was going to be built out at
Malabar
Ports. Way. Yeah, that's the one.
To go back to the freshwater ecosystems, and particularly within these ecosystems, looking at something that's the mayfly nymph.
Yes, that's right.
Who's this thing?
So most people know adult mayflies as the little animal that apparently only lives for a couple of days and it mates and dies. Mayfly and lots of other insects actually have their early life stages in the aquatic environment. So many, many flies, some moths, will have what we call the larval stage and then also a nymphal stage in the aquatic environment. And then they bust out at certain temperatures, and that's when they have a much shorter-lived adult stage. So a lot of insects spend more time in the freshwater systems than what they do in the terrestrial systems. And I think it's really important to note with insects that there's hardly any insects in saline environments. So many insects' life cycles rely heavily on freshwater systems.
So these mayfly nymphs are living in freshwater, but yes, if these freshwater basins are becoming more concentrated with salt, that's going to throw them off.
That's exactly right. And it's not only the mayflies. There's a group that we refer to as EPT taxa, and this stands for Ephemeroptera, which is the mayfly, which is our scientific name for the order of mayfly. P stands for Plecopteran, which is a stonefly, and T for Trichopteran, which is a caddisfly, and all of these insects are considered highly salinity sensitive.
Right. So what are the implications for those flies then?
Basically, the implications are going to be, at best, a reduction in biodiversity and abundance, and I guess at worst, complete population loss in certain communities. And as I was saying before, because these animals are both aquatic and terrestrial, a complete population decline in the aquatic environment then has a flow-on effect into the terrestrial environment.
So the, I guess, ecological significance of them once they reach adult form is that they break down matter?
It's actually the juveniles that break down the matter. At least for mayflies, they're sort of like little vacuum cleaners in a river. And they go around and scrape, some of them scrape algae off rocks, and some of them will break down detritus. They're also, in the aquatic environment, a really, really important food source for animals that are higher up in the food chain. Fish, larger decapods, and even things like platypus love little crust, invertebrate, yeah.
What is the answer here? Like, how would you, having conducted your research, kind of look at a higher level to be like, is this a problem that we can really resolve?
You're just asking me for the answer to the world, Jake. Look, the findings that we had with the mayfly research are absolutely novel and challenge the extent of our knowledge of what's going on physiologically with these animals in relation to salinity. Our concern is that the problem might be much larger than what we actually know, because there's so little data on the impacts of salinity on insects. So what our research has uncovered now is really just a baseline, and there's a really urgent need for more research to be done on the impacts, particularly the physiological impacts of salinity on freshwater insects, before we can even know what to do. I liken it to there being a big medical problem in a population and the doctors don't know what it is. If you don't know what's going on with something, how do you know how to treat it? And that's where I feel we're at with this.